What is the most wildly inappropriate thing a person can do at your funeral or celebration of life service?
Oh man. I've been in funerals, like, I'm going to name some of the things that have been done in funerals that I've been at. Like,
yeah.
I heckled my brother during his speech.
At your dad's?
At my dad's funeral.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem wildly inappropriate. It seemed entirely appropriate to me at the time.
Everyone, yeah, I can imagine it.
And we played cricket to celebrate his life. And then my sister poured a can of Newcastle Brown onto my dad's coffin in the open ground as a libation.
Yeah.
So it's hard to imagine what's inappropriate.
I just wanna see the same things you can see, understand the meaning on a new degree.
This episode features Aurora and Chris, and before I say anything, I want to read to you what Aurora put as part of the application for this project. So the way she introduced them was, I have a friend that I would like to bring. His name is Chris. We actually started out as a couple in 2021, worked together as coaches in the same organization, and supported each other as partners, friends, and colleagues. We found that we didn't work as a couple, but have stayed good friends, and the past couple of years are even working on a project together that overlaps both our professional and personal lives. I love how love can transcend and evolve and change, and I love our conversations and would welcome a new challenge and situation for us to explore together. Safe love, connection, and care took us years to build, and I'd love to share and celebrate that and perhaps get to know each other in new ways. And I honestly can't think of a better way of describing their conversation. I upload both edited versions that I've edited only for brevity and modern attention spans, really. But then also the full conversation. And I really recommend watching theirs in its entirety, if you have the capacity, if you have the time. Because no other pair in this project so far has demonstrated the value and the specialness of silence, of being with somebody, of simply letting somebody explore without interruption, without imparting any of your own thoughts into it. They have such beautiful back and forth with long pauses to allow each other to think and to process. And that is just, it's so beautifully demonstrated. And I hated having to cut those because it doesn't really work in a podcast when you're sitting there with your earphones and thinking, did it die? Is everything okay? Genuinely, it's a wonderful conversation to witness. The care and affection that they have for each other is very evident. And honestly, I think maybe one of the questions in this is the hardest that I laughed. So I really had to conceal my laughter behind the camera so it didn't get picked up by any of the microphones. But I'll give you two guesses as to which question that was. So anyway, here's Aurora and Chris. I really hope you enjoy this conversation. I know I did. And if you're interested in more of this, please subscribe, do all of those things, and enjoy.
Maybe that could happen when you're next to me. I just want to see the same things you can see.
So would you like to be the asker or the askee to begin with?
I'll be the asker.
Go for it.
Which side?
That one.
Oh, it's the harder to get to. Okay, I think this is a kind of random one.
Okay.
Based on the icon on the top, based on the little symbol. And the question is, would you rather travel into space or deep into the ocean?
Oh, that's an easy one for me.
Yeah?
All right. Well, do you think it would be for you? Do you know what I would say?
I think you'd travel into space.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. That's just the first intuition that came to me.
I do like Star Trek and all space travel. Yeah. But I think I have such an interest in the natural world and what goes on in it. Yeah. I'd rather get closer to this planet than experience what's beyond.
That makes sense, yeah.
I've also really always loved David Attenborough's, like, you know, like his documentaries where all the luminescent fishes and the stuff that lives in the deep, there's life there. Whereas I think in the universe, it's quite, as far as we know, stark and empty.
Yeah. Well, when I think about it, it makes sense that, like, you'd lean more into life.
I'd also love to see, you know, those the vents where there's like cyanobacteria and stuff, like the red algae and stuff. Stuff I learned about in my course, because I feel like that would be like a once in a lifetime experience that I couldn't replicate in that way. So space. But for me that, yeah, I love life. And I think maybe if I knew I was gonna meet an alien, that'd be a bit different.
Well, it's less likely, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just think that moment, you mean like I could look in the eye of like potentially an underground squid that might never have seen another human being and have that moment of connection between me and them,
yeah,
that could never be replicated.
Yeah.
I think I've noticed that connection matters more to me than the view of something, even when I find it beautiful. Like those experiences stand out for me.
I think it's a good answer, because when I read that question, I think I saw it just before when we were sort of going through some of the cards, and I thought to myself, that's the same question to me, that's the same scenario.
Oh.
It might be something about where I am today, but like to me, both of those scenarios are like, you're stuck somewhere and you can't interact and it's lonely and it's claustrophobic.
And they do have those elements, definitely.
But I think you're right. Like, that's the point of the question, isn't it? In a way, it's like, there are these two conditions that are similar. And would you rather put yourself in the way of connection with some other things? Because it is entirely more likely that you're going to meet something in the deep.
You will have in the deep blue swim past you. Or,
yeah. Yeah.
I'd hope so. That would be really quite sad if you went all the way down to the bottom. And all the way up, it's all nothing.
Yeah.
But they would, even if you didn't see it, you'd know it'd be there somewhere.
Yeah.
Around you.
Absolutely.
Great. What would you choose? I'm just curious now. I probably want you to answer all the questions as well. Are we allowed to do that?
You can do whatever you want.
Not always, but I am interested in what you would choose.
It might be the same with all of these questions, that I want more conditions, that I'm like, but how long would I be allowed to be in space for?
Well, you get to decide, don't you?
I think it's the same, like, I always did, as a child, want to go into submarines. Like, that would always have been a fantasy of mine. To go deep down into the ocean. And I think you're right, I think you'd see more.
I'm different, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd choose that one as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
We could do it together then.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, just checking. So after that, I pour it, because I was asked. And then I pick one for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick whatever one I can touch. Oh. I think this might be easy because I don't think you keep these, but after you've died, what would you like done with your social media accounts?
Yeah. Just get rid of them. What it makes me think of is, in a way, it's nice that people's social media accounts become epitaphs for them, and you get people leaving messages on them and stuff. But I have enough trouble keeping up with the birthday messages that I get, like, because I keep it out of my life. And the mindless scrolling that I tend to do tends to be on YouTube.
So what would we need to do, like a YouTube? Best bits of Chris.
Well, I might end up having a professional social media thing, but again, that would be sort of like meaningless
without you there.
For me to have, after I exist. So I think there's
meaningless
probably...
Meaningless for you?
Yeah, meaningless for me in terms of what I'd want done with that stuff after I die. I don't really mind what's there. I haven't built anything strong enough on there.
You're not really a social media person.
To care about it. No. But what it does make me think of is when I've known about people, YouTube personalities who are passing away, and that's happened to me twice, where people that I follow for kind of basic reasons and quite basic entertainment have sort of like either their friends and family have said after they've died or something, or there's one person had put a last sort of goodbye and a final message on there. So if I was active on social media, I might be tempted to do something like that if I knew that I was going.
To let people know.
Yeah. Might be tempted to use it in that way. But once I'm gone, I don't really mind what people do with it.
It's good to know.
Yeah. How about you?
So I use social media a bit more than you. And I definitely have an intention, and I've found out sometimes about people in my network that have passed through social media. So I actually think it's pretty important based on how we stay connected to friends nowadays, because it's not so much in person or via text or like the newspaper announcements or something. There's some people who only know what I'm up doing because of what we've put on social media. So for me, I definitely think the thing you said, it would be nice that someone let people know so that people who I have, because you never know. That's the thing. Like, I don't think everyone knows the level of relationship I have with everyone. So putting it in the spaces where people engage with you, you know, send it around work, send it, you know what I mean? Let your friends and family know. It's like, I suppose, just one of the channels.
Yeah. It used to be in the newspaper or something, didn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe it still is for some people, but like, it's the way people get to learn about it. And it just happens, doesn't it? Almost, I think.
I also think it's become a bit like, you know, we don't necessarily go and visit people's gravesites anymore because we're not all in the same town or places. But I felt, so when I lost a friend of mine a couple of years ago, when I've missed her, I've gone back to her social media page just to see other people who missed her, a bit like going to visit where the flowers were placed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those moments, it's kind of like, oh, I'm not alone in my grief for this person. I can see other people miss them too.
Yeah.
So, and also I'm quite proud of my life, so I wouldn't want it to disappear in case anything in there was of value to someone else. A shared memory, a photo I put up, an experience.
Well, it's like that,
there's parts
isn't it?
Of our life that are on there, you know.
But you have actively curated that place to some extent, where I've been actively neglecting it.
Consciously.
Few years. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, how much of you is there? Or how much of the ephemera of you is there?
I don't think much of me is, but I think it's just, it's a portal, it's a way people can contact me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's only ever a little bit of us, but it's, I don't know where those people who were in contact with me there would go to say, because they don't know my friends, they don't necessarily know you. Like, so where would they express their feelings? So I'm looking at, for once I'm dead, I'm not going to be there. But what about all the people who knew me? And what would they say, and how would they get a chance to express how they felt?
Yeah, of course, you're thinking of them.
Yeah. So yeah, I think leave them there, let people know when, if I'm having a funeral or a party, you know me, parties, I'll probably have a nice time, colours. Do some sort of growth experience for people, reflective writing.
I know where I'd go to remember you.
Where would you go?
It would be the that little aspen
Oh, you're right.
Forest. Yeah, or aspen tree, singular aspen organism.
I mean, it's very special to me. So that'd be cool. I'm glad you made that space. I don't know where I'd go to remember you. You're in that space. We've had memories in that space, some art that you've done.
You just remember me when you walk past scruffy looking dustbins.
I do. Your love of photographing strange spaces.
Yeah, you'd find me in the neglected urban environment.
I do all the time. Like, oh, look at this neglected thing. Reminds me of you.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's where I'd expect to be remembered by people and in other idiosyncrasies.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad we know that about each other. But yeah, it's true, that is how I would remember you. Okay. So, what is the most wildly inappropriate thing a person can do at your funeral or celebration of life service?
Oh, man. I've been in funerals. Like, I'm going to name some of the things that have been done in funerals that I've been at. Like, I heckled my brother during his speech.
At your dad's?
At my dad's funeral. Yeah. And that doesn't seem wildly inappropriate. It seemed entirely appropriate to me at the time.
Yeah, I can imagine it.
And we played cricket to celebrate his life. And then my sister poured a can of Newcastle Brown onto my dad's coffin in the open ground as a libation. So it's hard to imagine what's inappropriate. Like, is that the question?
What's inappropriate? the most wildly inappropriate thing a person can do at your funeral? Like, what would you find inappropriate?
I think it's no holds barred at a funeral.
I
remember hearing it on the day of my dad's funeral and thinking, this is our funeral. This is my funeral.
You'd want people to own it, whatever it is.
Yeah. If they love me, which they do, because they're at my funeral, however they're grieving, I think they'd know. I'd be like, yeah. And if it's funny, all the better as well.
Yeah, you're quite irreverent with those things. Do what comes. Because there'll be a reason for it. What you're saying is that it's not just going to be no reason. You're not bothered about doing the right thing and what other people think.
No, I'm certainly not. And I'm kind of against that at all costs.
Because what do you value?
Yeah. So I guess the most inappropriate thing that a person could do at my funeral would be to blindly follow a tradition.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Just go through the motions.
Yeah.
And treat it like it's any other funeral.
If people are wearing black and just doing that for the sake of it, as opposed to because it's chic and it looks cool, for instance.
Okay. Now we know.
So behaving normally and ritualistically, following ritual blindly.
For the sake of it.
Yeah, I'd find that wildly inappropriate and disappointing.
You'd want them to treat it as unique to you.
Yeah, and unique to them and what our relationship, what our connection meant to them. And how they mourn.
It's cool if you thought about that before, until this question.
Yeah, I've not thought about it, about my own funeral.
I mean, it makes sense with what you've shared with me, but it's kind of good to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we're ever in the position of knowing those things.
Yeah.
I think I'm similar, by the way. I think I'd be, I mean, not that you're there to pay attention to it, but I'd be more annoyed if it was just a generic experience for people.
Though those things that I've described about my dad's funeral sound wild, they felt entirely appropriate.
To your family
and
him.
Yeah, at that time and in that moment, no one was like, that's weird. It was all like, yes, of course. Yes, yes.
Because if you knew the person. I actually went to a funeral once. It was like the a relative of a family member, the partner of mine, his family member. And the person who did the funeral didn't know the person, and you could tell. And that felt inappropriate. Like, at their funeral, a person doing a speech about them, you know, where, like, they've read stuff out, but it's not quite right. None of it is them. Like, oh, that's not that person. It feels jarring. And I remember afterwards, we didn't go with all the other people to the wake. We went to a pub, just a small group of us, and actually talked about the person. And that felt like the funeral more than the actual funeral, because that felt not real. It felt like someone who didn't know them was talking about them in this generic way.
Yeah.
That felt like that version that you're talking about.
Maybe there was a time when priests and, like, celebrants, I guess, or whatever, could have had personal relationships with people more often, and they could be the orators.
Yeah, because they'd know
that other people couldn't. But I think increasingly, like, the people who are known to the people who've died are the ones who need to speak about them, because we do get a cookie cutter sort of account, and that's what it was like at my mum's and my dad's funerals a little bit, you know. It was everything that we'd done as a family around that that was actually commemorative of them.
Yeah.
Commemorative.
Yeah, I'm thinking of my brother's funeral, which was obviously only last year.
Yeah.
And how weird it was to, like, so obviously it was someone who did know him, but also someone not who'd grown up with him. He was more, so he was the partner of our, like, he didn't know him as closely as the rest of us, but no one in my family was able to articulate and do that role.
It was his partner who spoke.
It was Terry. So
Amy's partner, right, okay,
who did the whole service. He's very good at it, though.
Right.
But what I found hard was that the stories he was telling, he wasn't there when they were happening.
It was just,
do you know what I mean?
It was just the case that he was kind of the best speaker. So.
But also just the one capable in our family, because everyone was not dealing with that one very well.
Yeah.
And then I spoke and did my little poem thing all about my brother. But that was the bit that I know got to everyone, because I was talking about not the stories of that person. Like, I'm still saying he did a really, really good job, but
you knew him and you were bearing part of yourself.
Yeah, and I was crying my eyes out, and it was hard, but it was still, like, for me, that was what it was about. When I spoke, I was speaking about my relationship with that person and all that that was for me. And it was hard doing that publicly, but it was also the bit that I felt needed to be in there too. Like, that needs to be in there as well. Right, who asked that question?
I asked the question.
Okay. I'm getting confused because we're having such a good shared. Okay, so I'm asking you now. What ingredients are in your perfect sandwich? I don't know anymore. I used to know quite well, I think.
My perfect sandwich would vary from time to time.
I like how seriously you're taking this question. Well, let's not be too hasty.
Well, yeah. This is being recorded for posterity. This is now going to be my perfect sandwich now. Right now I'm thinking of a meatball. A meatball sub.
Yep.
But it's annoying because I know that, like, there's some mornings where, and there are mornings where inspiration strikes and I realize that I've got free will.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, this would be ideal. So whatever my sandwich would be, it would be well thought out.
Okay.
And it would be creative, and it would be not what you expect.
Of course.
But it would be perfect. It would be it would be the ideal sandwich for that moment. And every aspect of it would be invested with love and plant and burn.
Good.
And I might carry the recipe for the perfect sandwich round.
Now that you know.
In my head.
Oh, in your head.
Like, that's what I do with any kind of recipe that I'm going to attempt for a series of time.
Okay. So, sandwiches are very important to you?
Sandwiches are very important to
I feel like this is, we've treated this topic even more seriously than the funeral one.
Well, there's a reason that the questions are in the same deck.
Okay. So basically, I can't know, but there is always an ongoingly perfect sandwich, but it's changeable. Currently,
of course.
It's meatball related.
Well, right now, but I know that that's just a stock choice. That's just an emergency. Like, I could go and get that.
Mm-hmm.
But the ideal sandwich for me would probably have some kind of spring onion.
Okay.
Some kind of cheese, some kind of homemade sauce, whether that's a series of condiments mixed. Very good bread, of course. That's all I can say about that, truthfully.
That's more than I thought you'd say.
Yeah. I won't make you answer that one.
Good.
I'm struggling to take that seriously.
I was, I'm so sorry. Okay. Do you feel you've said enough on that?
Yeah.
Gone deep, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I was trying to remember who pours the water now.
Oh, we're both answering the questions.
Yeah.
But symbolically,
yeah.
You asked me the question. So mm-hmm. Now I'm asking you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because you were the sandwich last time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like I know the answer that I would... I think you know what I would call you, but I'd interest to know what you would call yourself. So, if you could be any animal, what would it be? And what would you like most about being that animal?
Right now, I'm really grateful that I'm a human. Because I can imagine being so many animals and I can't settle on one animal.
Okay, but say like for a day. So you can still come back to being a human.
Can I keep my human consciousness?
Yes. Given the game, you can define the parameters.
Yeah, I think I would like to be a bird. Because of the way that I would so fundamentally experience my surroundings differently.
Yeah.
And like geography and my sense of freedom and what I could do. I'd like to be able to assess that, like from within a human framework, because it's less easy to imagine the way that other animals' experiences are different. You know, one other animal may be able to see more clearly or not, or to see different things. It probably would be interesting to experience the way that dogs experience smell, but I think. Yeah, I'd be a bird. What were you thinking when you read that?
I thought you'd be.
Yeah.
A bird.
Yeah.
Because you raised birds, crows, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And birds are just a bit of a theme for you. You draw them, yeah.
I guess so, yeah. What animal would you be?
I don't know, actually. There's not many experiences that I envy. I think just like if you went in any direction, like fish and swimming water, would that be the flying? Or, because like if you're an insect, you'd have a completely different version of reality, like that would be weird because your whole priorities and your way you moved and everything would be completely different. So if I wanted something like that was starkly different as a new experience, I might go for something that was like completely different from me. I don't know, like boringly, I went for like tiger or something, but that's just because I've probably got red hair and I've always associated myself with like cats and lions and stuff like that. But I don't know if I'd actually want to spend a day in their life doing what they do.
Mm.
I actually think I'd quite like being something small. Like I quite liked burrowers when I was a kid. And you know, all the way like you can live in the small spaces and create little miniature worlds out of things, and there's actually a lot of spaces and spots and nooks and crannies when you're tiny. So maybe I'd enjoy being something small for a little while, if it was just for a day, like to go and experience like the micro in the world, but everything be like, whoa, it's a jungle here, you know, like just a little mouse running around.
Makes me grateful to be human.
I know, it's quite nice being a human. We've got a lot going for us. You just stubbed your toe on the table. Like, what do you scream out?
Bastard.
I'd say that's true.
How about you?
Mine normally go...
Yeah, you do that.
I just make like a little whiny noise. There's no, often not very many expletives in those moments for me. I actually want all the ones that tell me something deep about me. Oh, okay. I think I've got a couple. We'll see how far we get through them. Have you got a couple?
Yep.
Who was asking last? Did I pour water last?
You poured water, yeah.
Okay, so do you want to go?
Yep. What was your favourite toy growing up?
Oh my god, my favourite toy growing up. Oh, wow. That's a good question as well, isn't it?
Mm.
I had loads, but I'll just tell you the first one that came into my mind. So I remember having a miniature post office set up. I don't know why I loved it as much as I did. But like you could put the letters in the post box, and then as the post office person processed them, there was stamps. It was all the little. It was like, in a way, it was like a functional post office. I love a good functional toy. I hate anything that has, you know, like the pretend.
What age were you when you were playing with this?
I think I was probably quite young. I imagine like 5 or 6. That must have been. It's that kind of age toy, isn't it? It's not like a kid with, yeah, must have been little. But I think I just really liked that they were like, I could write things, I could put them in the letter, I could post them, then I could be the post person. And it was like, I like processing things, I'm a process person. But I think I really enjoyed that.
That's cute. I like imagining you like that. I like imagining little you.
Yeah.
And all the sort of organising and playing all the different roles. I can recognise it.
Awesome.
Mm.
I'm going to pour the water. I'm enjoying knowing these things about you.
You 5 years from now suddenly appears. What would they tell you to start and stop doing right this second?
Oh, initially I imagine she'd have like creeped out and gone, hello, and I'd be like, hi. So what would she tell me to do? Eat well and keep going with all my pole stuff. Like go for it, like big time, because you're gonna really be badass. I think don't settle on anything. Like you are on your path, just keep going. Don't worry, it's not all going to work out. Like kind of just encourage me, I think, to keep growing and not to give up, not to go into the what's going to happen next phase. But enjoy the process. Like enjoy every moment of your life. Like don't wish it away or think the worst. Just kind of, because I think I wouldn't want to ruin for myself what was coming.
Yeah.
Because I'd want her to enjoy that ride and going with it. But I'd hope she'd have a look on her face like, you're going to be glad you're me. Because I'm still glad I'm me. from if I went back to tell me 5 years ago, I'm still glad I am who I am today. So I think I'd still feel that way in 5 years from now, but I wouldn't want to ruin the ride. I think I just want to give myself hope that I could still be someone I wanted to be. And I'd see that in her face and be encouraged by that, that I still want to be that person. And she's proud of the person I am today too.
So keep doing what you're doing then,
just
really?
Just keep doing what you're doing. The bit I was like, is because at the moment I've been, literally last week or two, been eating a lot more like chocolate and chips and stuff. And I'm like, that's not really how I want to live. I know that. And I've been like almost waiting for an external sign to be like, and I realized that me from 5 years would be like, come on, we got shit we want to do with that body, yeah. Like mountains we want to climb and stuff. Let's look after it as best we can.
Yeah.
That's the only little tweak in the back of my mind to what I'm doing now. Mm. Otherwise, everything else I think I'm doing quite well on.
On the whole, yeah.
Yeah, even that, just.
Yeah, yeah. It would be a case of like how long a period of time future you was looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with that answer.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be your last question, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
So you can make a choice with your water.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry, yeah. I got the ones. Can I give you two to choose from?
Yeah.
Because I can't really decide. So one's about your past that I'd be interested in. So of these two, whichever one appeals to you. So if you could go back in time and deliver one message to someone, who would it be and what would you tell them? A little bit like what you just did for me with that one. Or you get to relive one day from your past over again. Tell me about that day.
Ah, similar.
So one's kind of what would you tell someone else? Yeah, to deliver to someone, not necessarily yourself.
Mm.
And the other one, which day would you relive? Do either of those appeal? Mm. I wanted to ask both of them, so.
Both about the past.
Yeah.
And I find it, I guess, difficult and painful to think about going to the past because it literally can't be changed. And I don't think that I would want it to change. So I guess I've got to go to the idea of reliving a memory from the past.
Okay.
Reliving a day.
Are there any that stand out to you that...
Well, in a way, the ones that I already regularly relive.
For example,
there was a day when I was in university and we went to the beach and we went to the woods and we were drinking some drinks and eating barbecues and looking out from a little cliff top near the woods and... playing on the beach and being in a big group of people who I felt close enough to at that time, and then going to a party together that evening. Mm.
Kind of one of those like perfect-ish days where it all just kind of works.
Yeah. But I think that to delve deeper into the question, it would be easier or better. Like I was already living happily in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and I don't think I would need me there living that time again.
Hmm.
I think that I'd go to a time that was really hard for me.
I don't think you have to necessarily go to be with yourself, it'd just be to have the experience.
To have the experience again.
Yeah, what would you give yourself? I suppose give yourself one way or the other.
Let's see the wording of the question.
You'd have to relive it.
You get to relive one day from your past over again.
I mean, that sounds like
Tell
a good
me about
day.
That day. That was a good day.
Like a nice day, like a day that just filled you up.
Yeah.
It's as good as any other.
I'm going to choose that day. Yeah. Hmm.
Great. And you're done.
Baby, you know I just like to talk with you. I just wanna go out on